You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
I'm the law. We're not above the law, guys. Sylvester Stallone has said that he is the law, but we're not above it.
Is that a reference to something I've never seen?
Judge Dredd, the classic 1995 film.
Then you definitely Sylvester Stallone. That was a reference to something I have never seen.
Yeah, and we got like Armand Asante also says law. Law! And then Judge Dredd says...
Carl Urban instead.
Oh, yeah, Carl Urban. That is... People should probably watch just the Dredd with Carl Urban because that's a fantastic film. Really, really good. Do not pay attention to this Russell Stallone movie. It's awful. So this is the review for Dredd, everyone. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But no. We're going to talk about The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, Episode 3, Above the Law. Wow, that's a ridiculously long title.
Oh, wait,
title.
That's why you made the reference.
Yeah, what do you think I'm doing?
I didn't know what the episode title was.
I am the law, as Stallone used to say. Okay, I'm going to end that. I'm going to stop that right now.
Thank you.
but yes, we're finally continuing with our Walking Dead reviews for We Are Error. It's been how long, guys?
4 months? Three months?
3 months, what, since January, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, we're finally going to review episode 3 of this series, and... you know, I'd say I've probably been the most negative out of everybody.
You sure have, which is odd because I'm the one that's been the most positive, I think.
Yeah, which is weird.
Because I hate these, usually.
Yeah, you do.
I hate how buggy and chippy and not finished they are. Thank you, Telltale.
Yeah, but, you know, but I will say, right off the bat, I like this episode the best out of everything that we've played so far. But yeah, and for those who don't know, this is going to be a full spoilerific review. We're going to go over all of our decisions that happened. We're going to talk about all the people that died, the people that we killed, all the annoying side characters that died. That's what we're going to get into right here.
Real quick, it's really funny because I think it shows how comfortable you were and how much like off topic all of us were talking before we started recording. Because one, you forgot to mention who any of us are.
I was going to get to that. It was in the back of my head.
Or what show this is.
Yeah. Well, this is We Are... I can't talk. We Are Error Reviews. I am Chris Herman. John, who are you?
I'm your boy, John Roma.
Justin, who are you?
I am Error, apparently. So.
Yes.
No, I am Justin.
Thank you for coming back on, man. Silence.
Oh, what?
I said thank you for coming back on. By the way, Justin's not actually in the room with us. He is recording from the great state of New York, I believe.
The great and dreary and snowy and rainy state. Chris, how did you live here all these years?
I do not know. It's why I'm here now, because I didn't want to live there anymore, because it was miserable. But we're going to get to the video game now, which I'm sure is why everyone is listening. Yes, we're like I said, it's Season 3, Episode 3, Above the Law. All right, so the game starts... and in a flashback sequence where we're following kind of Javier and Kate, you know, this takes place actually, I think like several months from the beginning of the first episode where it's like reintroducing all these new characters. This Hispanic, family, like living in what? In like Washington, D.C. or somewhere on the East Coast. Baltimore, that's it. And yeah, we kind of just see Javier and Kate, they're going to look for gas and they kind of have this conversation about like, we have to get out of here. There's like nothing here. We're out of food. We don't have any more gas. We have to take care of these two kids. And of course, David, Javier's brother and Kate's, husband is gone. They have no idea where he went. And so they kind of, you know, make the decision where they have to tell the kids, like, we have to get going. And I think that's one of the first decisions in the opening episode where it's whether you leave a letter for Dave to tell you where you went or where you're going. Or let him know you weren't gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I left the note because I thought, well, it's the right thing to do even though he's an asshole. I mean, John, what was the decision that you made?
Well, of course, I left him a note. I think this is going to be a pervading theme throughout the whole thing, but he's my brother.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Justin, what did you do?
I don't think it's an option to not leave a note. I think it's just you tailor the tone of the conversation with it.
Right.
Like, where it's like, either we say we love him, or where we're going to be, or whatever, something like that. But yeah, of course I left a note for him.
Yeah, so I did that. Maybe it was just the tone. Maybe I just, like, I don't give a shit about him, so we could just leave. Yeah, you know, he was mean to me. You know, I want to cheat on his hot wife, so it's like, I don't give a god. Javier, he's a rogue. I kind of like that. I was like, I'm going to play this guy a little bad boy. I'm all about that.
I could do that until his brother became part of the picture, and then it's like...
Exactly.
Then he's my brother. And this, this is going to play very strongly into the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And of course, we get to the meat of the episode where it's right where we left off with the second episode where Javier and his whole family and other kind of companions are confronted with David, who apparently has been a part of this community, one of the leaders of this community, the New Frontier. You know,
which was crazy when the second episode ended, and I was like, oh shit,
yeah,
here we go. I got really excited.
Yeah, it won because it adds drama, and because, you know, I'm macking on Kate the whole time, so it's like, oh, here we go, I'm gonna have to kill you someday. but I guess the kind of like the first interactions, you know, after like, oh, I have your wife and your kid. And it's like, oh yeah, and Mariana died like a couple hours ago. That's going to be interesting to explain to him. But as he's he takes you in, you know, and puts like your friends in quarantine because, you know, in any type of fascist regime, you want to make sure that no one's going to go crazy. I get it. But he eventually, when Javier is let out of this quarantine, David's showing him around, and they're kind of catching up with like what's happened. And I did get a sense of warmth there, where maybe David's more aggressive tendencies seem to be in check, which is weird because you would think like in the zombie apocalypse, he would be more aggressive. He'd be more heightened. But I was kind of surprised by how mellow he was for the most part. And even his reaction to hearing about his daughter's death took me by surprise, how I don't say okay with it, but maybe how accepting he was of it. John, what was your kind of reaction to that first?
I wasn't so much surprised because to me it makes sense. He is this hard type of guy and he's ready for war, but he spent months, years, I would assume, this point, in war mode, that when he finally gets to see this moment of family and a time to open up a little bit, like, he's ready to see it and he just wants to make sure that they're taken care of to an extent. And those extents will be pushed a little bit as the episode goes on, but like, I enjoyed it. It felt very real. It felt like, of course, this is how it would go down. And even though you're kind of skeptical and taken aback, you're still really happy to see your family again. Mm-hmm.
And what was the choice did you make in talking about like Mariana? Did you choose to demand justice for the death of Mariana, or did you keep it from?
I kept it to myself because, again, I told you, it's like, this is what my brother asked me to do. And I feel like, one, this is my brother, and that was his daughter. And it's like his feelings for her in his decision-making, I should listen to a little more than my own will. But also I did think it would give me a better chance to try and like, hey, stay calm. I think in that conversation, you also kind of call out Will or whoever the other guy is with the beanie, like Max, I think is his name.
Yeah. Eventually the episode leads to where, you go to meet like the other leaders of the community and how, oh yeah, you learned that I've killed some of the members of this community and things kind of start to unravel from there.
Yeah. And that's where I had brought it up. I didn't bring up the exact murder, but I was like, you did do something and we are not friends, that kind of situation.
Sure.
But Justin, what did you go ahead and do during that request?
Well, I mean, yeah, I kept my mouth shut too, because I think one of the things that I like about the way this episode in particular was written is that David is complex. Like, he's a complex brother character because it's like, well, on the one hand, he does truly genuinely care about his family and friends. You know, he loves his wife, he loves his kids, and he loves Javi, more or less. But at the same time, he also clearly has some, maybe tricks up his sleeve is one way to put it, but he knows how to do things his own way. And so I kind of took that as a way to say, like, well, I should trust him because while maybe his tactics are a little underhanded, he at least has the best intentions. And it kind of reminded me of family members I know of mine, where it's like, yeah, this guy totally is like my dad or my brother, who have their way of showing their love that maybe is a little bit more hard, but they're doing it for the right reason. And plus, I don't know, I kind of started to distrust the leaders right off the bat, where I'm just like, okay, this is too idyllic, I'm waiting for that shoe to drop, so I'm just going to go along the plan, I'm sure it's going to, you know, unveil itself soon enough, and then David will get his moment.
Yeah, I kind of felt like like you, Justin, where I was very mistrustful of this community, obviously, because one, Clementine was saying they're bad, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't trust any of these people.
Yeah, and they killed a village or another town in the previous episode too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. What was it?
Prescott.
Yeah, that's it, Prescott. And so right off the bat, and then of course you had Kate saying, "Yeah, I don't like this place. We should leave." It's like, okay, I get it. And I was still mistrustful.
Kate is whiny. She is a whiny person.
She does get whinier in this episode.
She does. Well, she's been shot.
Yeah, I mean,
and she's like, I can't really do anything, so I'm trying to voice my concern as best as I possibly can. She's not like Gabe level of whiny. Yeah. It's like, you're not annoying me.
I did realize Gabe sucks in this episode.
Gabe does suck, doesn't he?
He's just like the one that isn't written as much of anything other than whiny.
It's like,
you know, I didn't mind him. I he's a teen character. These characters kind of written all the same. So.
And he's barely in it. He is rarely in it.
I think he did that on purpose, by the way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because he was so annoying.
And yet they're still trying to pair him off with Clem, just like, oh, there might be a connection there.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't like that at all.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's gross.
Because I think he needs it, in a way. Like, he needs a friend. I don't want them to, like, date or anything, but I think both of them need something. It's an interesting dynamic where he's very soft and she's very tough, and I think that's kind of interesting that they can even each other out.
Yeah.
Not romantically, necessarily.
I get what you're saying. It's just weird. I don't think they established.
Because you have a very strong tie over Clem, too.
That's the thing, where it's like, no one dates my Clementine. Sorry. Not when you're older, Clem, maybe. but yeah, eventually kind of things start to fall apart within that community, no matter what you say, no matter who you have with you. And like you and a couple of the people that you went in with are exiled from that, and they're given like these weapons by David, and also a map to this location that David says you need to go there. And eventually, as you kind of go towards there, I think the people who are with you are Trip, Jesus, who, by the way, is voiced by Brad Keener, who is the voice of Garrus Vakarian in the Mass Effect.
I know, that was so awesome. I was like, I'm on a Mass Effect high right now after Andromeda, so I get to hear Garrus talk to me again. That's a treat.
I know, it's like, I was thinking, it's like, is that Garrus from, like, the second episode? Like, when I originally played, it's like, but I didn't care enough at the time to check it out, but I was a little more invested, and I thought, okay, cool. And so I was instantly captivated by Jesus' performance, because it was so good. But eventually, as you kind of make your way to this, facility marked on the map that David, has given you, you actually run into Clementine again, and you receive like a flashback sequence as you learn more about like what happened between her and the New Frontier, and specifically David. And you learn that, I guess, and you also learn like what happened to AJ, and that at the time, like when the flashback shows you, is like he was sick, and Clementine needs to use these supplies to hopefully alleviate or cure him of whatever he's suffering from. And you're kind of presented with a choice of either to inject AJ with this medicine or to not risking the medicine at all and, using it on AJ. And so, I mean, for me, it was like, it was an obvious choice. I injected AJ the medicine because I hate everyone else in this group, so I'm going to save this little kid. John, what did you choose?
I feel like it's 85 to 14% those in favor of injecting AJ. I think the only reason there's 14% is for, like, Let's Play people who wanted to show all the things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saved the baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, what did you choose?
If you didn't give the medicine to the baby, you are a heartless monster, I swear. But, yes, so I injected the baby. And it also, it made the most narrative sense, like, in terms of why they would kick Clem out, where it's like, yeah, it's a complicated decision where she didn't want to break the rules, but she wasn't going to let AJ suffer. So it made it more morally interesting to do that choice.
Yeah, and it also, again, painted David in a very negative light, where he's like, yeah, fuck you, we're not saving babies here. You get the hell out of here, Clementine. and you're exiled, but we're going to keep AJ anyway, and he'll probably die. It's like, whatever.
It's funny, like, you say that, and I did feel that anger towards him, like, why can't you just give him the medicine? But then I did think about it. I was like, well, you do need to figure out, like, how the chances of the baby's survival, I understand why you're like, we need to give that kind of thing to the people who can help us, mm-hmm. those who have a high rate of survival, because that it could last longer on other people. So like, I get where he was coming from. And it was one of those moments where it's like, that's just a tough choice. Like, true. You don't know what to do. The only problem of that entire scene that really bothered me, especially with David, is Leonard, the doctor, who was like high on opiates. Right. It's like, he didn't yell at him for being high or whatever he's doing, because he's like not helping. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're a little too calm at him right now. And like, also, why does he get to hold the baby?
Yeah, it's weird. You're a drug addict.
Yeah.
And he's clearly using drugs that could help everyone else. So there's a distinct double standard. Maybe it's because he was one of the leaders of the community. Yeah. That's because it's like him, Joan, and Plant Guy.
I also do like how it's kind of hinted at later on in the episode why he was on those drugs at the time, sure. Why he was probably kind of dealing with some shit.
Yeah.
It's never really explained yet. So, like, you get it, but still at the same time, it's just kind of, okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
No, exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, eventually after that flashback sequence, you're then in the facility with David. And for whatever reason, you discover that the facility is filled with all the stolen stuff from Prescott, from other kind of camps and communities. And you learn that Joan and several other people, Joan, who's one of the leaders of the New Frontier, has been stockpiling all this stuff for herself and her people. You know, coming up with the excuse that this is for our survival, even though it's like, I don't think you need a game machine or whatever, an arcade machine. Game machine, am I old? Jesus Christ, I run a video game podcast.
I know, what are you doing?
But yeah, and then that course that leads you to a fairly cool action scene when, again, you're fighting these I don't know, people that you've met in the previous episode, specifically Badger and Max. Fuck you, Max. And
then some dude.
And some dude. And you learn that Badger was actually one of the people that, I don't know if it's specifically said that he killed Mariana, but he was there when Mariana died.
He was kind of the leader. He like led that whole troop.
Yeah, he was the one who distinctly said, ram the gates, we're going to kill everybody in Prescott. So it was him directly who caused the death of everybody in that village, too. So
sure. And Max was like, upset with it, but he still went along with it anyway.
Yeah.
And there, I guess, he was also under orders from Joan to do these things too. Yeah. But yeah, you learned that, yeah, that Badger and these other people have been going behind David's back, and clearly there's a lot of politics involved, and people are kind of doing very underhanded things to each other. But eventually it leads to like a gunfight and a knife fight between everybody. And Javier, you have this choice to either like kill Badger or to like let him die in all sorts of various ways, I guess. I mean, for me, I chose to kill him slow and I bashed his skull with a baseball bat.
Ooh.
So, I mean, John, what was your choice?
Well, I didn't know that was the most extreme thing to do.
Sure.
I didn't know that was slow. To me, I was like, he's going to sit there and bleed out. Like, that's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. But yes, I did bash in his skull, but for a different reason, because I thought, oh, this will be quicker. Like, mm-hmm. just hit him like twice and he can go down instead of sitting here potentially turning or something.
One of the other options, I think, is you can shoot him, which is it's only 4.6% of people use that option. It's probably because it wasn't made clear that you could do that.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they show you distinctly the baseball. I think, like, Javier is actually holding the baseball
bat.
And so it's like, oh, I'm going to kill him with this. But if you, like, I think if you looked over to the right or left, you see the gun or the shotgun, I believe, and then you use that. So that's not great game design.
A bugaboo in that whole sequence is, again, during these Telltale things, I did die. And it's because with that weird, like, move the right analog stick in a zone, I didn't see that small little red square. And I was just like, wait, what? And I think that's the first time it's in there, and I just forgot because you took 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the first time I didn't realize until, like, halfway through, I was like, oh, okay, that's what I do. And then I died.
Yeah.
So, again, another way of, like, maybe find a way to better design and show what's going on, what you want us to do at those instances.
Yeah, I remember those kind of sequences in Batman where I was kind of confused by them. Like, oh, I got to do this. And it felt very awkward.
Yeah.
Justin, what did you do in that situation? Did you kind of encounter the same problems that John did?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of disappointed it wasn't Badger from Breaking Bad, because that scene would have been a lot better if it's like, hey, man, you got any crystal on you? That would have been good. But I was also thinking, I didn't really have bugs. I think it's just a design thing that they really want to keep you on your toes during these action sequences. But yeah, I had the problem where I couldn't move my mouse fast enough, and partly it's because I didn't have a good mouse pad, but others where it's like, it feels like those reticles are so small that by the time you're ready to click on it, you know, you get shot by Badger with a shotgun. And then it's like, okay, well, I got to start all over again. But ultimately, yeah, I decided to choose to let him suffer, where I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, you killed Mariana very quickly, and I really want to kill you, because they literally did everything possible to make you hate Badger. He's just a complete a-hole. He's a dick. He revels in death. We're just like, huh, yeah, I shot that little girl, and I would have shot her again, too, had I known. They were stacking the deck. But at that point, I'm like, you know what? I think it'd be even more satisfying to let you bleed out slowly and painfully and turn into a walker. That, for me, is kind of justice in its own right.
I mean, I was definitely thinking of doing that too, but I thought, oh, this is probably like a trick because he could come back and probably kill one of the other companion characters that was with me. He'd kill, well, not that he would kill Jesus, but he would kill like Trip or something. Well, I don't know.
The guy got a shotgun blast to the gut. He's not doing anything.
I don't know. He could get up and throw his intestines at me. I could get AIDS. I don't know.
Not how it works.
Not how it works.
For some reason, I just thought of a monkey bone where he's just throwing out his internal organs at you. Just like, here, have a liver.
Whoa, that's a deep cut, Justin. Jesus.
Hell nerd.
But kind of after that scene, it leads into like right at like a minute later, what you want to do with Max, where he says he'll kind of support you when you go back to the new frontier, saying that Joan was behind it and all that, basically accepting his deal. At that point, I was kind of like, I was like, ah, fuck everybody. I just killed him.
Whoa.
Which probably wasn't the best decision in the long run, especially because of what happens at the end. So I shot him, I believe. I mean, John, what choice did you make?
I brought him with me because I thought it would make more sense for negotiations.
Probably is. Does make probably more better. Sense. And I probably ended up a lot better ending as well because of that. Justin, what did you choose to do?
Heck yeah, I brought him. I mean, there's no other proof to prove that these things are happening unless you have someone who's directly involved in it. I mean, you don't just throw away your bargaining chip.
I know. It's just like, you know, this guy, he's like, he's playing so many sides. Like, I didn't know if I could trust him. You know, because at first he's like, I had nothing to do with it, but then he obviously did have something to do with it. He was at all these places. He's like, well, I didn't want to do it. It's like, this guy's a snake. And yeah, he kind of comes...
He's kind of half-heartedly evil.
Yeah, he kind of comes off like as reasonable, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, dude. You're just not trustworthy. And so I just decided to shoot him, which probably in the long run was not the right decision, obviously. I think this was actually pretty fairly close, though. 58% of players brought back Max to the New Frontier, and 42% killed him. So kind of more of an even split, more so than any of the other decisions, I think, in the episode. So, and then kind of the one of the last decisions of the game, of this particular episode, is kind of where... you know, who you kind of align yourself with, where you kind of eventually sneak back in there with Clementine and Jesus and all the rest of the characters, and where David kind of has this plan to overthrow Joan or kind of expose her to the other leaders. Or you can go with Kate and just say, we're just going to get the hell out of here and leave David. And, you know, I made a decision to go with Kate. And also it featured one of my favorite moments in the episode where Gabe's like, I want to stay with my dad. And I went, see you later. And I left his ass there. I was just like, yeah. And I was like, no, stay. And then Kate's like, no, he's like my son. I want him here with us. It's like, nah, it's like, let's go. Let's leave him there. So I was very happy about that. So yeah. And then of course it eventually led to, you know, David feeling betrayed by me and kind of ending in a shootout with all the other leaders of the New Frontier. It was like, probably should have brought Max.
Wait, like with David shooting you?
Not shooting me, but he's just very disappointed in me. He's like, you're a bad, he basically says I'm a backstabber. And it's like, yeah, I kind of am.
Wow, that's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Which, I mean, it's very true, but it's just like, dude, I don't trust you. Clementine, that's the thing. Clementine, she's constantly telling, don't trust David. I'm like, I got it, Clementine. I'm not going to trust this piece of shit for a second. Gosh. He tried to trick me literally by seeming reasonable. It's like, no way. I mean, John, obviously,
by seeming reasonable?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because stuff he says, like you said before, it's like, it makes sense. And he doesn't seem as aggressive as I thought he would be. It's like, like I was saying in the first episode, like, he punches me in the face, even though I kind of give an explanation as to why I was late to my grandfather's death. Traffic has stopped. I can't go anywhere. And he's like, well, he's just so angry. He's all emotion. Like, everything's out there. We're here, he seemed more reserved. I'm just like, something about this doesn't feel right. It's like, I think they're doing that to get like a false sense of calm with him. And I was just like, and then Clementine's like, don't trust him. I'm like, I'm always going to trust you, Clementine. that would be fucked up. Actually, she betrays me in the end. That would be amazing if they do that with her. It's like, no, the whole time she was lying to you and she was manipulating you. That would be brilliant. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
I believe it.
I think because, you know, Clementine's the best character ever. So, but yeah, I was like, yeah, screw David. I got out of there. I mean, John, you obviously did something very different than I did. My whole sequence must have been different because I didn't even have Max with me.
Yeah, well, basically you go and kind of have a confrontation. Well, yeah, I stuck with David's plan.
Okay.
But you go and have a confrontation in the little church altar. You lose that confrontation, though.
Right.
But hey, you got your brother.
Yes.
Yeah, well, because the whole thing is that Joan, I mean, because I chose that as well, but you go in front and you have Max say, like, yeah, I was responsible. I did this under Joan's orders. And then Joan's like, well, yeah, I had them do it because how else would we have got all our supplies? How else do you think we could have taken over the city? And how else do you think we could have sustained the population if we didn't take stuff from other people? And she kind of does this whole, like, winning over the crowd situation where it's like, hey, you know, we could do this. We could tell the truth, or we could keep things going and get rid of Javi and David. And that's more people than not decide to side with her. And that's where the episode kind of cuts off with them sending David and Javi on their knees and then knocking them out to lock up or whatever.
Oh, see, like in mine, like everyone started shooting each other, which is really cool. It was like, oh, wow, this is like, I think, I forget who dies. I think you're,
someone die?
David, I think gets, I don't think David dies, but he gets shot in mine. I think it gets like shot in the shoulder or something. Let me sell clearly. And, oh, by the way, Jesus left this episode, like, before he comes back.
And he scolds you. I don't like that scene.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's
yeah, but so, don't worry, he'll be back for a second.
It's
coming.
Just so much, it's just so on the nose. That was a good ass joke. It's just so on the nose.
Yeah, it was. Very good. Good job, Justin. Really appreciate it. We're taking a minute to appreciate that.
His character in that moment is just like so on the nose where I'm just like, I get it, I did wrong. Mm-hmm. Fine, leave.
Well, my whole thing with Jesus is like, he's like Glenn from the first season of The Walking Dead, where you're here to be a cameo. You're here to connect it to the comics or the show. That's your function in this episode. So you're not going to die here.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's probably if he does come back, it'll be like maybe like a hero moment, but don't expect like anything where he'll have a significant role in the plot itself, which is kind of disappointing because I like that character and I like Brad Keener's performance.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I grew to like him a lot more after the second episode where it's like, yeah, there he's just kind of gratuitous cameo, but here he actually contributes to the story and actually develops as a character as you progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait, so what side of the conflict is David on? When you guys are all shooting,
it's he's still kind of like, I'm on his side. I end up being on his side technically because, what happens? I think like it's like a civil war where there's people on David's side and there's people on Joan's side and people just start shooting each other.
Okay. So you were just going to like leave with Kate.
Yeah. I was going to leave him there to die.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a piece of shit. I don't care about this family. I was going to leave Gabe there to die with his dad. It would have been like, yeah, just me and Kate. I'm a scumbag. Yeah, I'm playing this very
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, it's very well, it's all for Clementine, though, in the end. So that's what I keep telling myself. It's all for you, Clem.
Well, so I will say in your defense, Chris, the thing with this episode in particular and why I agree with you, I think this is probably the best episode of the season, is that they give you enough emotional complexity with each side of the conflict where there's no straight, clear-cut answer of who to support, whether you're Team Clem or Team David or Team Kate, whatever, yeah, kind of thing, where it's like you feel like there's equal weight to each side of who you should, you know, put your feelings and trust in. And I think that's what made it more compelling, you know, the fact of, like, are you going to support your brother? Are you going to support the girl who you're kind of in love with, even though you shouldn't be in love with your brother's wife kind of thing? Are you going to support the girl that's the fan favorite, even though it doesn't really make much sense to support Clem in this storyline, but, you know, whatever. We all love her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but no, I think they did a really good job writing that this episode in particular.
No, they did. I thought that they gave, you know, I'm joking around. I'm playing this series a little differently than I have other Telltale games. I just kind of want to see what happens because, yeah, I was a little bitter at the fact I wasn't able to play as Clementine, but I started to take stuff a little more seriously here, and I started to have a lot more fun with it. I was enjoying kind of the moral complexity of all these characters. Yeah, specifically David. I like how he's being handled here. It is good writing, and I like the feeling of, like, not trusting him. And, yeah, I made the decision eventually to totally betray him because, like, this will be fun. And I'm sure, like, no one will have made this decision that I did. And voila, no one did. But, yeah, just kind of to go on the final thoughts, I'll go first. Like I said, I think this is probably the best episode so far of this season. I like how there was a good balance of character development, of action, and I like learning more about, like, what happened with Clementine and AJ. That was a big mystery established in the first two episodes. So it was exciting to see how that's played out and eventually where that's going. Because as we learned, like, AJ did survive whatever sickness he had, but we don't know where he is,
yeah.
Which I think is like, okay. So hopefully we'll get to that towards the end of the season. And I wonder if, you know, typical Walking Dead fashion, if it'll be tragic, which I'm probably certain it will be. But yeah, for right now, I really enjoyed it. And I do think it's worth getting into this series now for those who kind of felt maybe a little bitter that I, you know, like I previously felt. So yeah, definitely worth jumping on. So I'd probably give it 8 out of 10 bash skulls. John?
I think it's so funny because I feel like this is, had you had no real experience with the Walking Dead games, this is probably where you would have landed. I think that's the only thing that made your impression of the first two episodes so negative, because I think there is this complexity going on. Yeah, Gabe sucks, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But you're Justin and you are so right about this complexity between like David and Javi and Kate and Clementine. I think it's all very interesting. I remember right before the last decision, as they're walking from the house, because in my thing, you drop Kate and Gabe off somewhere so they can hide and wait until we deal with the conflict.
Right.
And as we're walking off, I was like, oh, wait, this is a middle episode. I've been engaged and not bored the entire time. And this one has been more about like the intricacies to me of this brother relationship in this apocalypse. Because there were a lot of times when I did find myself distrusting David, because I was just kind of like, you know, I understand at the end of the day, if you have to choose, it is Kate and Gabe and not me. Mm-hmm. And I would understand that as a brother. That was what was weird, is like there's a moment in the game where he says, I can't fight for you right now. Just like go. And it's like, you know, he gives you a map and a place to go. And I think this is a perfect setup in a game where I go there and it's an ambush to get rid of me.
The betrayal.
Yeah. And I think, and I thought, and this distinct thought comes in my head, but that's my brother. He would not do that to me. And so I go and like willingly just kind of go, and I rationalize his thoughts is like, yeah, protect your son and wife first. I'm your brother. I should be able to understand. And it's so weird that I'm just like projecting that the entire time, because those blips would come up every time. It's like, okay, the game tells me do not trust him right now. He is a bad guy. Mm-hmm. But the brother part in like that relationship, again, it's just easier for me to project myself on Javi than other characters that I've played in games before. So that would happen continuously. And the fact that this is a middle episode and it just felt like it was going quickly, and all these character dynamics, just they keep changing and they have complexities. And it's kind of like you can second guess everybody and their motivations because of the apocalypse and everything that's going on. But you just kind of have to keep going with your gut. Like, again, with the Kate stuff, I understand why she would want to leave, because this is a weird town and it's just like, they are being shady, naturally, for good reasons. And then you don't really love David. And especially after getting to spend time away from him, you're just like, maybe I don't need David anymore. Yeah. Whereas I'm like, I understand what Kate's doing, but at the same time, I'm just like, you're a temporary thing. We only were a thing because of this apocalypse. I understand that. And my brother comes first. So it's just like, I could do that. And it's so great. And I'm still giving this a 9 out of 10 bash. Like, bloody baseball bats.
There you go.
Just really enjoy this season of The Walking Dead. The game crashed on me twice, and it's still not affecting me that bad.
Yeah.
Like, I sent you a text kind of laughing at it because it happened, but I was like, oh, whatever. Like, it's gotten to that point where it's messing up, and I'm just like, man, it's fine.
Because you're just so involved.
I'm so involved in the story.
No, I totally get that. I mean, I felt the same way about, like, Chills from the Borderlands and Wolf Among Us, where, both of those games had big problems, you know, but I was just so invested. And I like that you brought up the fact that you're kind of placing yourself in like the role of Javi, because of relationship with, like, your brother, you know, in real life. I think that's cool, because I never had that relationship. So maybe that's, I don't feel the same way because I was only a child. Yeah. So really cool that you brought that up. I mean, Justin, what about you? What are your final thoughts, and what do you give it?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I was looking online, and the one thing that shocked me more than anything in this episode was how middling the reviews were from the critics for this episode. They're like, oh, it's okay, it's kind of a bridge episode, there's no character development, nothing happened in it. And I'm kind of baffled by that, because I can only think of one scene that I didn't think worked, which was the beginning part of that flashback with Kate, where they're like, huh, these things aren't, you know, they're not alive anymore, they're dead. What do we call dead things in Spanish? You know, I'm just like... Okay, I get it.
That was weird.
Yeah, it felt clunky. Like, I don't get it. They did the same thing with Batman, where it's like that whole Harvey Dent Batman thing, and then it's like, okay, I guess there's just one of those moments every season of just awkward kind of, you know, get it? This is what happened. But other than that, I was, absorbed in this episode, and I was shocked, because I kind of expected going in like, maybe this will just be kind of a slump like most of the mid-episodes are, but it never let up. It was... This is what I like in these kind of stories. They need that intrigue of the politics, of character emotions and relationships, people who have conflicting interests who are not just evil. I mean, and even if you have Badger, who is just the, you know, mustache twirling or beard twirling bad guy in this case, it still made me care. It made me care that I wanted to protect my family, that I wanted to protect all these people. And it was great. It was great dialogue. It was great moments and great set pieces. And even, like I said, Jesus, for the strange cameo that he is, they managed to make him integral into the story, where it's like, yeah, we totally trust this dude because he's sympathetic, he's awesome, and I kind of want him to come back. You know, I'm waiting for Jesus' return. Thank you, praise the Lord, kind of thing. But
hey, Easter's right around the corner.
Yeah.
No, that's good. And I kind of suspect that the reason we got this so late was, one, they did the 2-episode release, and two, we saw the trailer for the new Guardians of the Galaxy game, and I'm pretty sure they're putting all their eggs in that basket. I get the feeling. But if we still get this quality throughout the rest of the last 2 episodes, I'm totally in. I'm liking this way better than season 2 of Walking Dead. And I gotta give it 9 times I chose the cream spinach over the Black Forest cake in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good rate. I forgot about that. Seems like, of course we'll go with the cake, you weird vegetable.
Did
man.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No, I felt like, my thing was, he doesn't like me yet. One, vegetables do make sense now, and also I need him on my side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed like the crumbly old man.
So I am a curmudgeon. I am a curmudgeon. So, we're going to review the next episode, right?
Yeah, of course. I'm loving course. This stuff.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Like, as Justin mentioned, though, I'm really nervous for the next 2 episodes, I think. Uh-huh. Because they probably will put their eggs in the big money basket, Guardians of the Galaxy, which, one, I don't actually care about too much. And two, I told you on the show, I think, that focus on the one thing at a time. You can barely handle, like, why? I get that there's a movie coming out, but like,
I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, Walking Dead was what brought them to such prominence. It's mm-hmm. what, like, revitalized their entire company. So I think they will still continue to put effort into this thing. And maybe because I felt the writing was so much better. That's why they had taken such a long time to develop it, I felt. Because, you know, it's like the game's not finished until, like, a week after it's finally out there. It's like that kind of thing. That's a development time. It's very, very fast. And sometimes that's obviously a problem. So I hope that they will take the effort, because this was the franchise that brought them back into the public
eye. Maybe it's something close to their heart and not necessarily their wallet, which I think in the long run, you're right, could pay off. That they're like, I think the deep fans of Telltale are like, The Walking Dead is where it's at. Yeah. And like, if we take the time and be patient with that, it'll pay off in the long run. Whereas, you know, the casuals will be the ones who come for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I certainly hope that's the case.
Yeah. Filthy Marvel casuals. Ugh.
Make you feel better?